is Canadian Wealth Wisdom by Trident to Private Wealth. My name is Kyle Taylor, and I am joined by Matthew Ardrey, Portfolio Manager and Senior Financial Planner with Trident to Private Wealth. Matthew joined TriDelta in 2016, but has been in the wealth management industry for over 20 years. He holds several industry designations, including the Certified Financial Planner, Registered Financial Planner, Chartered Investment Manager, and Financial Management Advisor. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks, Kyle.
So what we will be discussing today can sometimes be a rather debated topic among investors and even advisors themselves. You are someone who has spent decades in financial services and many years working with wealthy Canadians, so you are in a unique position to add some color to the value of working with a financial advisor and how this relationship has changed over time. So with that in mind, my first question should be an easy one, albeit a big one. What is the value in working with an advisor?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is about putting a plan in place. Now, obviously, people can go through life with no plans whatsoever and turn out just fine. However, studies have shown that people that do have a financial plan in place end up with more investment assets and more confidence in their overall financial picture. And to me, this makes sense when you think about it. In most things in life, when you have a plan for something, it's much easier to reach your goal instead of just trying to wing it as you go along. Next, it's really about answering questions that weigh on people's minds. You know, financial concerns can really keep people up at night. An advisor can answer those questions along with, you know, information that comes back from the client, have a real personal and connected dialogue that can provide some peace of mind. Example, someone approaches retirement. Common question that it all boils down to is, will I have enough? An advisor can answer that question, do some analysis, come with follow-up questions, and help someone put a plan together to effectively decumulate their assets in the most tax-efficient ways. Something else I find advisors do is we keep emotions in check. When the market is soaring high or falling down, the emotion of a typical investor can cause them to make decisions about their investments that may not be prudent. Our job in these situations is really just to be a steadying influence. Often I say one of the most valuable things I do for a client is just from keeping them from acting on impulse. And true financial planning goes beyond retirement investments. It's ensuring that financial risks are covered. Everyone wants to talk about a plan that's going right. The harder conversation is when life throws you a curveball. Is there enough insurance for your surviving spouse and family? Are your wills and powers of attorney in place and set up to transfer assets in a tax-efficient manner? These are conversations clients often don't want to have, but are equally important as the retirement conversation. Finally, a good advisor is like having a good family doctor, but for your finances instead of your health. It's someone that you know you can call to discuss anything about your situation, and they're going to give you advice and guidance that's in your best interests. And so really, it's about someone who's focusing on you rather than everybody else in the world.
All very important points, and I want to make sure that we get into each of them. But one of the primary ones that you bring up is around managing emotion. And I think that's a key point that some do-it-yourself DIY investors don't always appreciate until it's too late. With the rise of robo-advisors and low-cost trading platforms, how much of a risk is this today?
Well, I believe do-it-yourself investing or a robo-advisor investing can work well for the right type of person. I've come across, you know, many different types of investors and clients in my life, and there's some out there that really enjoy diving into the research, really enjoy in diving into the investments. The people who are most successful at this tend to be very disciplined, have a process, an approach. This is how I'm going to invest. This is what's going to work, and, you know, not going to vary it based on market conditions. My concern is there's lots of people out there who want to be do-it-themselves investors who don't have the time or even the inclination to go out there and process all that information. And even if you have a robo-advisor there, really, is that going to stop you from making a decision that could have catastrophic results for your portfolio? They're not going to stop you from selling everything out at the bottom of the market or buying everything in at the top. So this is, again, working where a professional adds benefits, especially as your life becomes increasingly complex. And of course, in my opinion, financial advice just doesn't stop with the investments. It's much broader than that.
I really couldn't agree more. I mean, for those who may have watched the seemingly endless Questrade commercials that are out there, they seem to try to sell you on the fact that working with an advisor is wrong for everyone, which couldn't be further from the truth, as you and I know. Recently, Fidelity did a study which looked to quantify the value of working with an advisor. And here are some of the points that they found that I'll share with you. On average, working with an advisor over the long term produces a 3% excess return after fees per year. Investors who have dealt with a financial advisor for 1 to 4 years have 1.7 times the wealth of those who do not. Investors who have dealt with a financial advisor for more than 15 years have 3.9 times the wealth of those who do not. Higher than 80% probability of a secure retirement when working with a financial advisor. In the wake of the financial crisis in 2010, 24% of retirees without an advisor said that they had run out of money. Only 4% of retirees with an advisor made that same claim. Now, Matt, after hearing this, what are some of the more technical ways advisors help to produce these results?
Well, first and foremost, it's about having a disciplined process that's adhered to both in good times and bad. So I think back recently, the COVID market crash a few years ago. I was rebalancing client portfolios in mid to late March, adding stocks to those who've dropped below their stock targets. And when the markets recovered, they actually benefited from these stocks that we bought at a lower price. Did I buy right at the bottom? No. But this wasn't about timing the market. It was about following a disciplined process and removing the emotion from the decision. And speaking of emotions, during that time, I also dealt with a lot of emotions from clients. There were clients who wanted to sell everything and go to cash. This is a fundamental investment mistake. Thankfully, I was able to counsel almost everybody to stay investment because the problem, and the big problem, I think, is when you get out is when do you get back in? Is it after the market recovers 10%, 20, 30? How much of that recovery do you miss by trying to time the market? And of course, many studies have shown that staying invested through these times is the best course of action. It is not timing the market, it is time in the market that matters most. It's also about investment selection. Having the right investments and also asset mix allocation can make a significant difference in your returns overall. It also can help keep a client invested by ensuring the risk level is appropriate for them. Also, tax is a major consideration. Consider choosing what investments go into an RSP versus a non-registered account can have a material effect on what a client keeps after taxes when CRA comes calling. And lastly, there's a sense of discipline and accountability with a client when working with an advisor. A client is more likely to engage in regular savings and increase those rates of savings when working with an advisor. This goes a long way to establishing positive wealth creation and overall just getting them closer to their goals at a faster rate.
All really important points, and I think one of the overarching themes with your response there was around discipline and having that process in place. And you know, one of the interesting points that you make is around timing in and out of the markets. And I think investors afterwards, after a big market event, always like to pinpoint the exact time. Well, if I had sold here and bought back in here, you know, I'd be so much better off. Why didn't we do that? And you know, I always tell people it's almost like winning the lottery twice, because you can never know when the exact moment is to buy and sell in the markets. And that's why having that discipline process behind the scenes is so important, having someone that you can rely on through those difficult periods. And even in the reverse too, when periods are really good and you're looking to rebalance away from some of the high-flying stocks that have done really well in recent years. And I know in 2024, right now, that's a common theme that we're having to have the discussion with quite a few clients. Now, one of the points that you made mentioned reducing investment mistakes. What are some of the common mistakes that you see?
Well, certainly, again, and you know, I'm seem like I'm pounding on this theme a little bit, but it comes back to emotions, investing with the heart instead of the head. It's really easy for an individual to get caught up in the fear or greed of what's dominating the market cycles. And this, of course, can lead to the wrong decision at the wrong time. And it doesn't have to be with the whole market. It can just be with a single stock. Somebody can get really, really attached to a certain stock, a certain investment, especially maybe if they worked for the company, they still think, you know, that's the best thing since sliced bread. But certainly this can prevent them from, you know, selling a stock that, you know, perhaps won't recover, or, you know, not wanting to sell a stock and, you know, thinking it's always going to continue upwards and onwards. You know, again, you know, I'm very much looking for sort of logical, data-driven decision-making when it comes around stocks and having that in place and pulling those emotions out. And then overall, it's just not having a plan. You know, investors should be able to answer things. What are the goals of the fund? What's the time horizon to reach that goal? How much risk can you tolerate to achieve your goals? And what investments will I use to reach that goal? We'd want a defined goal with risk tolerance that not only meets a client's economic situation, but, you know, what I call the sleep at night factor. You know, if it's something that when we hit volatility in the markets that it's causing the client stress, then it's, you know, certainly not the right the right solution. And, you know, lastly, proper diversification. You know, I would say the best way to make money or lose money is to put it all in one investment.
That's a really good one. And it actually reminds me a little bit of a story from a plan that I did in 2019. As you know, I used to live in Ottawa, and Shopify is a big employer in Ottawa. And there's one individual that I had a plan for who worked at Shopify, had a stock option plan. And I did a plan for her that showed, she was in her 30s at the time, that she could sell all her Shopify stock at what was a peak around the time and retire with $80,000 a year withdrawn from her investments, inflation adjusted. And she said no, because that all sounds great, but, you know, what if her coworkers are buying yachts while she's withdrawing $80,000 a year? So there's sometimes that sentimental value around stock holdings that people don't always recognize. What are some real life examples where you personally added a lot of value to a client which went beyond an investment plan?
Yeah, so a lot of the value I feel I add on a day-to-day basis is through the financial planning that I do for my clients. Whether it's just we're starting through the process and we're digging into areas of their life beyond the portfolio creation, but it's about determining goals, whether those be long-term, short-term, perhaps, you know, looking at how different decisions would affect their plans over time. So, i.e., what happens if I buy a cottage, that sort of stuff. Certainly, you know, and this goes beyond just the, you know, sort of happy retirement scenario off into the sunset. But again, you know, the idea of risk management, what would happen if something went wrong, making sure that their estate plan is in place, they have insurance to cover their risks. One area that I really do feel I personally add value is extending the relationship beyond the core client. So I open the door to adult children and offer them planning, portfolio managers, things that they typically just wouldn't get to deal with on their own with you know, an advisor like me. And this also connects back to the core client, because if their kids are being taken care of, that actually gives them more peace of mind. And then benefiting the kids, you know, if you can start planning and setting goals earlier in life rather than later, you are going to be so much farther ahead than everybody else. And sometimes the added value is not me, but who I can connect you with. So I can typically answer most questions a client asks me, but sometimes it's beyond my expertise. And I recall a situation a few years ago at a client. She was born in South Africa. Her father had set up a New Zealand trust with the investments managed out of Singapore. And now that she's in Canada, what would be the tax implications of unwinding this trust? Well, now we have potentially four international tax jurisdictions, Canada included. That's a little bit beyond what I can answer for them. But I was able to connect them with an international tax accountant who could. So again, this idea of, you know, having a family doctor for your finances, it's like referring them off to a heart specialist. So someone who can answer those very, very, you know, specific questions. And really the value add lots of times is just getting people focused on their financial goals and giving them a path to reach them. You'd be surprised at the number of people who come in who don't even have an accurate picture of their budget, something that, you know, is a basic cornerstone of financial planning. People know what they save, they know what they make, but if you ask them what they spend, they're often very far off of what they have. So this is something that is, you know, often overlooked in planning, but it's just setting them on that right path.
That's all really good points, and you know, I really like the point that you make about working with clients' kids as well, because I think that's a really important theme among everybody here at TriDelta is, you know, operating under that belief that if they're important to you, they're important to me, and extending that relationship to, you know, neighbors, friends, kids, anybody who's important to them, and you know, can extend that relationship, right? Now, I'll switch gears a little bit because I want to ask, how has the relationship between the client and the advisor changed over the years since you've been in the industry?
Well, before even I got into the industry, a little bit before my day, I think it was just a very transactional nature. You almost had the sort of stockbroker model. I'm going to call you up, you know, sell you this stock, you want to transact on it. The human connection part of the financial industry was at a very low point. By the time I came into it, we started talking a lot more about portfolio management. So again, this whole idea of, you know, it's not just going to transact, we're going to create a portfolio for you and we're going to design it. But more and more, it's come down to the idea of what we call human-centric planning. It's about the person. It's about understanding them, their emotions, what's their relationship with money, how do they connect with it, because we all have a relationship with money, and you know, money has a huge emotional charge to it. So it's going beyond just, hey, I'm your planner, I'm going to do a plan here, I'm going to crunch some numbers for you and we're done. It's about understanding who they are as a human being and working and building a long-term relationship based on those factors.
And how would you advise people go about selecting the right advisor for them? Because a lot of what you say is some of those intangibles. So how do they decide who they can work with most effectively?
Well, first and foremost, you got to make sure that they obviously have the technical competency to deal with your situation. Some people have much more complicated situations than others, right? You could have corporations, you could have trusts, you could have U.S. tax issues, a whole bunch of things. So certainly there are advisors out there with CFP designations. Of course, that's our industry standard. But you have to make sure that they're an actual planner because a lot of people have CFPs and use it to go sell mutual funds. In terms of how you would pre-qualify an advisor then, well, obviously, one of the best ways is if you can get a personal referral, right? If your brother says, hey, you know, go talk to Kyle, he's a great guy, perfect. That's giving somebody a pre-qualification for it. Another way is looking out into financial media. You know, do you see them out being reflected in the Globe and Mail, in the Financial Post? Obviously, you know, these publications, you know, look at and vet what goes into their publication. So it certainly gives you a step up that way. And really, if that's not available, I would say interview them. Interview them like you would any other professional. And I would say even if you pre-qualify somebody through a referral, still interview them. Because it's not only that they need to be competent and be able to understand your situation, they need to understand you as a client. Are you connecting? Do you have that build of a relationship? Because the ultimate goal is to find somebody that you can work with for a long period of time. Because this is a relationship. What I have with my clients is a relationship. And like any other relationships, you know, how do you communicate with one another? Is it the right way? You know, is there a foundation of trust? You know, do you get along? You know, these are all things that are going to really make a difference in finding the right advisor for you as a client, who understands you, who can work with you for your goals, and is the overall right fit for you, so you can really have a long and prosperous relationship.
I think that's a perfect way to end it. So thanks again for joining me, Matt. We covered a lot of ground today. That concludes this recording of Canadian Wealth Wisdom.